All right, here we are. Common Sense, Ohio, May 28, 2025. The first quarter is done, and we're pressing towards the summer months. We're going to jump right into it. Check us out, commonsenseohioshow.com. Brought to you by Harper Plus. Today, free speech with Britain, unless you disagree with the government, of course, because the government knows best. Upper Arlington High School, the best of the best here in Central Ohio, says, come pee with me, despite what the DOE has to say. And we have two doctors in the MBA, it turns out. I thought we only had one, but King James is now a doctor. Let's jump right into it with our fact of the day. On May 28, we had, let me get the right year because I wasn't ready. 1972, I wanted to make sure, we had a bunch of creepy plumbers.
Oh, wow.
Breaking into Watergate. So the wow. Committee to Reelect the President, the creeps, talking about Nixon, broke in, led by none other than G. Gordon Liddy, who is a personality of the highest order, if anybody's ever read or watched anything he's done. Like he killed rats in the subway because to get over his fear and ate it. He's that kind of guy. Anyway, so G. Gordon Liddy and the creeps break into Watergate. There were two break-ins, one on May 28th, the other was June 17, 1972, which was the Democratic headquarters with the idea to plant bugs and spy on the opposition. Who would have thought that would ever happen again? Yet it sort of did.
Yes, it did.
But without all the fanfare, as it turns out. So anyway, everybody should know the story by now, the Watergate story. It eventually brought down old Tricky Dick, and he resigned because he is not a crook, or maybe he was a crook, maybe a little bit of both. Who knows? But I will say this about Tricky Dick. He's no dummy. And if anybody, no. There's some interviews of him out there where he's talking sort of about world politics. I don't agree with all of it, but he had thought through all of it. You know, I mean, this is after he had already stepped down.
Oh, yeah.
A pretty interesting guy with all his flaws, worth a little bit of study, I think.
Yeah, prolific author. So I mean, this is the classic thing, right? So Nixon, all the burglars and, you know, John Mitchell, the attorney general at the time who authorized the break-in, he was also the chairman of the re-election. Everybody says Nixon knew nothing about this break-in, but he was guilty of the cover-up.
It's always the cover-up.
It's the cover-up. Right, right. It's a cover-up. So his big fault was not only trying to suppress the investigation by the committee, and he tried to get his CIA director and the FBI director to say that this break-in was for national security purposes, and they both refused. And I think the attorney general, the interim attorney general, Knight of the Long Knives, ended up resigning over it rather than doing what Nixon had asked.
Yep.
So it's a cover-up, man. It's like he was too loyal, too worried about the PR aspect, and he should just fired everybody.
Well, think about the scandals that have come since. You know, you had Bill Clinton scandal. Like what that guy survived,
right?
Like
incredible.
It really is remarkable.
Yeah.
And then
Obama was listening in on Trump. Authorized that fire.
Right, not to mention the Russia hoax and all the stuff that's happened since.
It's all fake.
It just is, and had, like, they, I think.
Cocaine in the White House under Biden.
Come
like,
on.
Well, I mean, they're just
that,
now.
Didn't that just happen?
Yeah, they're going to reopen that because it wasn't done right.
Well, done right. It wasn't done at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does. So that's a good switch to the news. It turns out the FBI is now reinvestigating a couple things. One is cocaine left at the White House.
Yes.
I wonder who that might have been.
Gosh, I don't know.
The one drug addict that everybody knows. Like, who'd have thought?
Who would have thought?
A guy with lots of drug-addled history and you know, attempts to buy firearms, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. And if it wasn't him, it was somebody else. And they're also looking into the abortion decision leak.
Oh, yeah. The leak of abortion,
apparently in D.C., nobody will name the person, but apparently, like, everybody knows who it is.
Of course. Right.
But nobody is saying.
You can't tell me they haven't figured that one out.
Come on.
And it might be multiple people, frankly, but we'll see. So
yeah.
The FBI is on the case, as it turns out, for good or bad. It just shows you, though, how much the executive branch can really control the narrative of justice.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who don't know, justice actually sits under the executive branch.
Yeah.
Which seems like an inherent conflict of interest. And it is in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Trump wouldn't do the same thing. Like maybe not have the FBI focus on something that his people did.
Oh, for
sure. And certainly Biden did, and certainly Clinton did, and certainly
for sure
Obama did. And anybody, you know, there's lots. Obama's not the golden boy of presidential history either.
No.
You know, look into the IRS tax scandal and some other things and how he treated you guitar players. See how he treated the Gibson Guitar Company. Sort of interesting.
Yeah.
A story for another day.
Yeah.
But anyway.
If it was Biden actually even deciding all this, as we're now finding out, somebody else was operating the auto pen and probably deciding things on a daily basis.
It's sort of like asking Copilot AI to govern the free world.
Yeah.
Hey, I think we need an auto pen. Why don't we pardon some people? Where's our president? Well, he's getting cancer treatment out in Delaware.
Or getting an ice cream on the beach or whatever he's doing.
Or he's visiting Hunter Biden somewhere. or his, whatever he's doing.
Yeah,
so,
whatever.
Anyway,
he's doing.
Let's just have the auto pens sign those pardons. So these are legitimate questions, I think.
Absolutely.
And you know, the other reason I wanted to bring up the Watergate scandal is because I think we are living through some of the most scandalous times. I mean, in the last 20 years that we've just gone through, some of the most scandalous times in history. And I think the scandal is not just the scandal itself, but the rug sweeping of the scandals will become the scandal. So.
Right.
How our government responded, both parties really, to COVID, I think will end up being looked at in history like insanity.
Insanity. And there is a primary COVID-19 as opposed to like a mutation. Like it is a primary variant of COVID-19 that has just cropped up in China and has now entered the United States.
Oh, so here we go
this
again.
Week.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. I hope not.
And you know how we responded to that and dealt with that and all the money that exchanged hands with the pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, that'll all eventually get unraveled with history and we'll look back on that. Like, can you believe that it happened? And the answer will be yes, because by then something else will have happened similar to that. And then you've got the other scandal, which I think is emerging as maybe the biggest ever, and that's the Biden competency and physical health cover-up.
Yes.
Which, again, and like where we started, it's the cover-up. It's the cover-up for China's and Fauci's gain-of-function research. It ends up in the cover-up that not only resulted in plenty of deaths because of how they treated COVID, but also how ongoing consequences from side effects of vaccines, which have now come out. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That
CDC
Biden suppressed information on myocarditis.
Oh yeah. Right. You know, stepping on people's rights, which, you know, we're about to get into what's going on in Europe, but like the CDC, to just finish this COVID thing, CDC this week came out, Dr. Marty McCleary, who's running the vaccine area of the CDC, came out and withdrew recommendations about the vax for pregnant women and for children.
I got to tell you, though, I know we're on a tight
time. It took them 4 months, but they finally got the goods and said, no, we're not doing this.
We're on a tight timeline today, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do have to say this. When the COVID vaccines were, when that found its height of pressure for those of us, me included, who said, I don't need the shot, I'm perfectly healthy, I'll be fine, and the pressure started to heighten up, you had pregnant women getting a vaccine.
Right.
Infants, like when they're born, getting
insane.
The shot. I mean, it's lunacy.
Lunacy.
And I remember we sat at this very round table looking back like, what is going on in the world? And
yeah, in real time, we said it was insane.
And
it was.
They tell pregnant mothers not to, you can't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, there's certain things you don't eat.
Right.
You monitor everything you do, but go ahead and take this shot.
Right.
You know, it's not tested.
It's not, no human
our
trials.
Our government guarantees safety.
Yeah.
For your unborn child. It's nuts.
Right. And then they gave immunity to the drug companies.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's unreal.
Because it's the lawyer's fault. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, so over in Europe, like, they don't have the First Amendment. So every now and then, I like to imagine what America would be like, you know, if Biden and Obama had basically they quashed the First Amendment during their presidency, certainly during COVID, and, you know, actually sent FBI agents to visit Silicon Valley and tell these people to pull topics and to pull certain people down off their platforms or to suppress them with shadow bans. So what's going on in Germany? There is a party Now, go ahead and laugh. Like you know, you're allowed to be goofy, but there is a party in Germany called the ADF, and the ADF is a pro-restore the monarchy, right? Mm. Like, bring back the Kaiser. They're a pro-monarchy party, and it's a political party. They're anti-green, they're anti-illegal immigrant, they're anti this, that, and the other thing. But anyway, they haven't killed anybody, okay? And so politicians in Germany decided to raid members of that party. They sent 800 German police middle of the night to kick down doors and go inside these people's homes and see what's on their computers and you know, membership lists and all this stuff. And they want to ban this party. And I would just remind the German government, they've been down this road about 100 years ago with the Weimar Weimar Republic. So Hitler and the in his idiot beer hall putsch guys, right? They go and have a march, they get shot at, right? And they advocate a violent overthrow, which this ADF is not even doing. They put Hitler in prison and banned the Nazi party. And how did that turn out?
Right. So when you do that, you suppress it, you squelch it, you deprive the public of incremental opportunities to be exposed to bad ideas and right. learn and figure out that they're bad. You can't do it. It's contrary. It's sort of like Jurassic Park. Remember,
right.
like the narrative was, you know, once you unleash this, you can't control it.
Yeah.
So if you try to suppress it, you can't control it. It's done.
No.
Then it gets a life of its own.
And no, it creates sympathy.
Yeah, right. And it creates sympathy, but it also lets it fester. It's like mold. It festers in the darkness.
In the dark.
And I brought up Britain in our lead stories because for a reason, because Britain is sort of, there's a place in Hyde Park, and apparently it's the, I didn't know exactly which corner, but I looked it up. It's the northeast corner of Hyde Park near the Marble Arch and Cumberland Gate, where it's like where the term soapbox emerged. People would stand up on their little boxes,
yeah.
and you could say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I remember going over there as a teenager, just listening to these old birds up there just talking. I asked my dad, what's going on? I was, oh, it's Hyde Park. It's interesting history. And there's a little mm-hmm. plaque. And they could just say whatever they want.
Yeah.
Now, here's what AI today had to say about it. It's designated for public speaking since 1872 by Act of Parliament. It has a long history of political demonstrations and gatherings. Speakers often use small platforms called soapboxes to address their crowd. The area is known for lively debates and discussions, with heckling being accepted part of the experience. It gives the history has been used by Lenin and Marxist movements, you know, everything at all. Now, here's what they added, though. Free speech. Anyone can speak unannounced on any subject, as long as their speech is lawful.
Yeah.
It's so insane.
It's insane.
It's so insane. Because, like, where did that little comment come from?
So
how's it free?
So, Steve, since we now have an electronic version of tub thumping or getting on the soapbox, Britain arrests between 25 and 30 people every day for
tweets and
social posts. Media posts.
Yeah, lunacy.
Where, like, so apparently there's gangs roving around in urban parts of England, and they assault people. Okay, and that's a fact, right?
That's a fact.
But if you talk about that on the internet and make reference to certain immigrant groups that primarily make up some of these gangs, and just factually want to talk about it, you will get arrested. Like, that is, you're not allowed to talk about rape gangs or, you know, whether they're Bengalis or whether they're...
Well, you can't even pray within, what is it, 100 meters
they arrested
abortion
that
clinic?
Lady. Yes.
I mean, it's what were you doing? I was
and
praying.
She was being silent.
Right. Silent prayer. So now it's not just speech, it's thought.
It's just the cop went up to this lady. She's across the street from an abortion clinic, and a judge had told her that she's not allowed to go to the abortion clinic, be in front of it, and to stop women and try to counsel them. So instead, she shows up like a week later across the street on the opposite sidewalk, and she is silent. No sign, no nothing, Steve. Like, and a cop walks up to her, recognizing that she's under this restraining order, and he says, well, what are you doing? She says, I'm praying. And he said, well, what are you praying about? Well, I'm praying these women don't get an abortion. And he arrested her.
Well, you know, on the one hand, at least it's sort of an acknowledgement of God. Right. It's sort of an acknowledgement of God on, yeah. on one level. It's like, because why would they care if it's not true?
Right.
And, or, yeah, who knows? But anyway, this is...
I mean, that's... It this is a this dangerous would be
trend.
Us.
It's a dangerous trend. And now we have something in our country called the Bill of Rights. And do study the debate about that. There was some debate about whether we needed the Bill of Rights because, you know, it was implicit. Or implicit. It was supposed to be implicit. We gave the government these powers. They can't do anything else.
Right.
And, you know, those skeptics out there said, ooh, hold on a second. We've been down this path before. With old King George, we want to make it said that the government cannot do these enumerated things. Now, the opponents were saying, well, if you enumerate them, then the implication will be they can do other things.
Other things, right.
And, you know, who wins, I don't know. But we ended up with something called the First Amendment, which protects our freedom of speech.
Yes.
And there's been lots of debate and lots of chipping away at this over the years. Some of it, I agree with this. Some of it, I don't.
Sure.
But at least it's there.
It's
and,
there.
And for now.
It's a backup.
For now. We don't have this going on in the United States, and don't think that it couldn't because it, or don't think that it could, or you get what I'm saying. Don't think it couldn't happen here because it can.
Yeah, just the previous administration, as I said. I mean, they sent government officials out to squelch your right to say something.
Yeah, and you know, this is under this emergency declarations. In theory, we can do all these things. So we're just, you know, we're just one swipe of the pen away from some serious danger. And I've debated people about Europe and England before, and they say, well, you know, they have free speech over there. And that was 2 years ago, four years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Turns out they don't.
Oh, turns out they don't. 25, 30 people a day being arrested for putting stuff on the internet.
Here's what they tell you. Yeah, but those are bad people.
And well, and you know what the police chief of the City of London said? This is like we talked about this maybe 6 months ago, but this is appropriate to bring up. So the chief of police of the City of London said, if Steve or I or any of you people, if you're on, let's say, a Yahoo group or what an IO group or you're on Facebook or something in England, so like it's an English-based discussion group. Like let's suppose you're doing the history of Winston Churchill and you're on a group that just talks about Winston Churchill and you say something on that British forum that doesn't comport to British law in terms of just your speech, he says he will try to extradite you and try you in England from the United States. He'll come, he says he will attempt to pluck you out of the United States, haul you over to you know, Tower of London and try you for commenting in a way that the British government doesn't approve of. I mean, is that not the most insane shit?
Scary stuff.
So anyway.
Scary stuff.
And just an incident that happened this week in Liverpool, England, there was a soccer parade, you know, celebrating some kind of victory or team, and it's a parade through the city of Liverpool. And some guy, and they won't name the guy, they won't talk about, you know, if it's relevant. If it's not relevant, they shouldn't talk about his ethnicity. But if it is relevant, they probably should. So this guy drove a van through, just like in New Orleans, we just had this, through a parade, injured 60 people, up to 60 people, right? And the British authorities still won't say whether or not it's terrorism. They're downplaying it, saying, it's not terrorism, or at least we don't think so. And they won't release a guy's name or show his picture.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that about?
I wonder why.
Gee, I wonder why, right? More downplaying, you know, more manipulating the public to get them to think a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that. And the British people used to be ferociously like, I mean, they were some of the toughest people, right?
Well, they were, yeah. I mean, they were working class, tough people. Look,
the Battle of Britain, for God's sakes.
Think what they did.
You know, evacuating Dunkirk, the Blitz during World War II, where they basically bombed out half of East London, was gone. It was burned to the ground. They're sending V1s and V2 rockets into England. These were tough people, and now they are so subservient.
Just sensitive, subservient. Oh, it's unreal. It makes me sick. Anyway.
Yeah,
I'm gonna shift to Ohio for a second.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit. So in Tipp City, a few months ago, we talked about this. They're building a new school, and the architects and the school board snuck in a trans bathroom, so a third bathroom just for use by trans. And of course, that's a small community, and the people went nuts. And
so hold on a second. Now, that's an interesting one for me, because you have a guy's bathroom.
Well, it's the same thing as in Upper Arlington. Yeah, well,
Same thing. So you have a guy's bathroom, you got a girl's bathroom, and you got a trans bathroom.
Yes,
I don't know that I care about that one way or another. So at least if you don't want to be sharing your bathroom with somebody, you don't have to. So having three is at least better than having only one. You got to at least give me that.
Well, here's the thing. The Upper Arlington kids, so this is at a high school, they say that third bathroom is being used for liaisons. People are
going. Well, no, I was just going to say, my son just graduated from Arlington. I got some nasty stuff to say about Arlington and the things I hate. But my son goes, and I asked him what goes on in the bathrooms, and he just says, well, look, you go in, and it's like you go into a bathroom, and then they have closed stalls, meaning you can't see under, you can't see over. They're like little closets that you can go into.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like sharing a bathroom, but it's sort of like not. So it's like a bathroom inside a bathroom. But what happens is kids go in there, and they get high, they smoke pot, whatever they do.
Right.
They have sex, and they do things.
Smoking in the boys' room.
Like, it's like a private place where you could just go as a – and the problem with it's always you try to solve a stupid problem without actually addressing the problem.
Right.
And they put this Band-Aid on it. So now you have these closed closets where kids can basically go in and do whatever they want, unsupervised.
Right.
And what? Who's going to walk in?
Well,
then they're going to be accused. Who's like, can you imagine? Like, I remember as a kid, the guy teachers would come in every now and then and sort of patrol through the bathrooms. You know, if it smelled like smoke in there, they'd come in and find out what's going on.
Well, there's also a little bit of official dishonesty about how they're doing this. So in both cases, the facilities that are open to the public, let's say football, baseball, soccer, you know, track games, whatever. So where the stadiums are located, they don't have the third bathroom. It's back there at the school where the kids are.
But it's not much different. I mean, look, but back to the conceptual understanding of this. You have a guy's bathroom, you have a girl's bathroom, and then you got the middle bathroom. And sometimes, you know, is it much different than the family bathroom? You've seen those.
I have seen those. I think in this case, there are actual, like, legislation. So the state of Ohio has passed legislation on DEI and, you know,
I got to think about it, because don't know that I care if they have a third bathroom. I don't know that I care.
Yeah. Well,
not, except for maybe the money.
So as a taxpayer, I would care. Yeah. And if it's being used for liaisons that
you could have that argument in any of the bathrooms. So that's back. Now you have to patrol it.
But that's
bit.
A very quiet bathroom, right? How many kids are going to go in there, right? So if you want to bang,
what are
you
they
know,
doing to
little
monitor
Susie,
that? What are they doing to monitor that?
Good question.
Anyway, it's just so stupid. What has worked for hundreds of years probably would still work.
So I went into locally a Franklin County library in Gahanna and went and used the men's room. I'm there, you know, reading a book. And went and used the men's room. They got a tampon dispenser. I'm just like,
I've seen
what,
it too. It's like,
what the hell? I mean, the pretend thing that basically any person in a dress, if you wear a dress, now, you could say you're a woman.
I wonder if that's like a, I wonder if somebody's got like the coin op route on that. So is it really like putting a vending machine somewhere? It's like a tampon dispenser? Like,
I don't know.
Whose service is that? I mean, really.
Another local story that's really got people riled up is, there's this trendy, you know, where it's basically the convention part of Columbus, the short north, where our convention center is, and there's a number of very high-end restaurants because conventioneers are usually there on, you know, expense account, et cetera, et cetera. And there's fancy hotels and condos and nightclubs and stuff, and they're struggling with crime in the short north. So what do they do? The Short North Merchants Association goes to city council and says, we want to be our own taxing authority. We want you to give us tax. Now, Columbus sales tax is 8%, which is pretty tall, okay? And I guess the Short North merchants want to create this zone where they can add on a percent or a half a cent or whatever they want to add, right? Supposedly to improve the cleanup of this.
Look, send the cops up.
Dude, we're already paying this.
Send the police up
8%.
There.
8%. Right.
Send the police up there and clean it up. And
what belies this, Steve, is just this weekend there was something in Columbus called Taco Fest. And they shut it down early because there were gang fights. So clearly the cops don't have control of the streets anyway.
No, and this is relatively a new phenomenon because, look, when I was in law school, the Short North used to be the red light district in Columbus.
I mean,
that was like the nasty part of town.
It was.
And then it sort of they cleaned
all-night
it up.
Bars and,
all-night bars. Yeah. And, you know, it was almost like Amsterdam on some level. You know, you had live people in windows doing, like, showing their wares.
Yes, sir.
And, but now it got cleaned up in the 90s and the 2000s, and we could go down there safely.
Became an arts district.
Arts district. They had the first Thursdays. Remember, they had to have...
It was cool. It was cool.
Neat place. Convention Center cleaned it up. Then they built the hockey arena. It was all sort of connected between Ohio State and the arena district.
Right.
And now it's gone to crap again.
Yeah.
So you have to ask why.
Yeah.
Like, what happened that made it go to crap?
Yeah.
And I'm not answering that question here, but it's like it wasn't always that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And it's not about adding sales tax to fix it, I don't think.
No.
Like, what is different now than wasn't the same then? You know, like, what is the difference?
So should I say
it, people? We endure what we tolerate, or we tolerate what we endure, or vice versa. You endure what you tolerate. That's the old Mike Ditka quote.
I will go ahead and say it. George Floyd happened. That's what happened. And now the cops...
They don't patrol it.
They're not going to go after gangs.
They're not going after it because they're scared of...
They're scared.
They're scared of enforcement. There's always a consequence, whether intended or unintended, to decisions, to policy decisions like this. So, you know, now you have the nicest area with these really nice old Victorian houses.
Right.
And they can't walk out at night. They live in some degree of fear of getting shot at.
Yeah.
Or getting caught by a stray bullet.
Yeah. And it is true. I know a dink couple, you know, double income, no kids, and they restored this house, and they probably have $1 million in this house.
Gorgeous old house.
Gorgeous. And they will not go out after the sun goes down.
Yeah,
they will not go anywhere.
It is a violation of our contract with the government to handle the basic of affairs. You know, it's like everybody says the government can fix your poverty. The government can fix this. But all we want them to do is supply infrastructure, safe streets, and make our environment. Like, we don't need much more than that. That's it. We can handle the rest, government.
We can handle the rest.
All right.
There's
my libertarian rant of the day.
Let's talk about another famous Ohioan besides Mayor Ginther and Governor DeWine, LeBron James, right?
So Dr. J, wait a minute, that's Julius Erving. So if I'm Julius Erving, so I want to talk about Julius Erving because I think that's more interesting on some levels.
Explain why we're talking about it.
Oh, because King James, LeBron James has been ordained as a, what is it? What are they called? Emeritus doctor.
Doctor of Public Service is the name of his doctorate from the Ohio State.
State has granted him a PhD doctorate. All right. But the real Dr. J, Julius Winfield Erving, nicknamed Dr. J, is a former professional basketball player and Hall of Famer. I didn't know this. He played in both the ABA and the NBA. He is the only player to win an MVP in both leagues.
Wow.
Interesting. In 1981, he was named NBA Player's Most Valuable Player. He retired in 87 as the third player to score 30,000 points in his career. His athleticism style made him a household name. I remember watching... The basketball in the 80s was NBA in the 80s was awesome. It really was. I mean, I'm not a huge basketball fan. Yeah. I used to like watching like small college basketball for various reasons, but the NBA was fun back in those days.
Yeah.
You had Dr. J and then Larry Bird. You had.
Didn't Christian Leitner, didn't he come into the NBA a little bit after the Olympics? Or?
Yeah, everybody hates Christian.
Well, Leitner. That's the name of a movie.
Everybody hates him. Right? Everybody hates him. But remember the Converse ad with Larry Bird and what's his name? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Slept with all the women and whatever. You get it. But NBA was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And you had the Pistons versus it was great. The Lakers, the Pistons, the Celtics.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan emerges.
The Bulls, the whole thing. I mean, it was off the hook. Magic Johnson.
Magic. That's the guy I was talking about. Magic. Now we have LeBron James, who comes out as this... What do you want to call him? Some sort of self-ordained scholar on social...
He's a high school graduate.
Barely.
Which, I mean, Governor Rhodes was a high school graduate. He was governor for four terms.
And I don't get...
So I'm not laying that whole thing on him.
His degree of education doesn't buy... I don't care.
But he's dumb.
But he
I think.
He professes wisdom on stuff that he has no idea about.
Right.
Or I guess what bothers me the most about it is that when these celebrities, athletes, or whoever start to profess their wisdom and knowledge on these big hotbed topics...
Right.
Why do they think that they have the insight?
Well, he and Obama. So Obama really amped up LeBron, and they were joined at the hip. So like when Obama would reflexively comment on something like the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing, or the, Michael Brown being shot in Ferguson, Missouri, like Obama would comment on this stuff without knowing the facts, without the grand jury investigating yet. Right. He would comment on this stuff. And then LeBron would pick up on the president and he would say crazy stuff. And
just wrong.
I mean, factually wrong about what happened. There was no hands up, don't shoot.
And LeBron is the beneficiary of a system that has worked for him, right?
Yes.
I mean, look, he's been quite successful.
Yeah. He turned down a $10 million offer as a rookie. He hadn't even played a game yet in the NBA. He turned down that shoe offer because he knew Nike would pay more than Converse.
That's right. So look, it hasn't been all bad for him. I mean, I know he's been involved in lots of charities at local levels trying to help underprivileged kids. Stay in your lane, man. That's what you're good at. That's what you should be doing.
Right.
And hats off to you for doing it. And hats off to him for being a phenomenal basketball player, all of that.
Without question.
But it doesn't mean we have to elevate these people to some sort of mystic level and give them a piece. It's just...
Well, he says crazy stuff. So like in an interview... and everybody makes excuses for him. He's like, oh, you pluck that out of context. But he did say, I don't want to have anything to do with white people. And you just say to yourself, how does Ohio State University give an honorary degree to a guy who says he doesn't want to have anything to do with white people?
We're celebrating that. They're celebrating.
I mean, can you imagine Larry Bird saying, I don't want to have anything to do with black people? And then Ohio State would just give Larry Bird a doctorate? No, they would not do that.
And here, look, you brought up Larry Bird, so I just want to tell it. Like, I've gone down these YouTube rabbit holes with Larry Bird and hearing, listening to the other basketball players of his time talk about him.
Yeah.
It is awesome. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because Bird would say things like, wait a minute, you guys got a white guy on me tonight? Like, this is just trash talk. You putting a white guy on me? How dare you put a white guy on me? But it was fun.
Like, God, the 80s were fun.
It was fun. Well,
who was the famous coach from Indiana that threw the chair at the Olympics?
Bobby Knight.
Yeah, Bobby Knight. Oh, like that happened.
Yeah, it was fun stuff.
It was fun stuff.
And now it's all gotten this rigid political BS that nobody can have any fun anymore.
And I think to the day he died, wherever that was in South America, Mexico, or wherever that happened, they still had an arrest warrant out for him.
Bobby Knight.
It's unbelievable.
It really was. It was a good time. And now we've got this nonsense. Anyway.
Well.
The beat goes on and we go up to what? Mount Vernon? You want to get to that later.
I wanted to, one more story. This is super interesting about these Chinese-owned factories in the United States. So Ohio has introduced this session. Of Ohio General Assembly introduced what's called House Bill 1, which if you take the initials HB1, which is also the name of a visa. So I think it's an intentional pun, or HB2 is a visa. Sorry. But at any rate, this bill prevents if the Department of State lays a label that a particular country is a foreign adversary, then House Bill 1 in Ohio would prevent them from owning real estate. And there is a divestiture clause in the bill. Like for Chinese companies that currently own real estate, there would be an investigation, a finding, and then finally a court order to divest. And it covers governments, people, and companies. And there is a company in Pataskala that make solar panels. And you may have heard a couple of weeks ago that in looking, and we would allow the Chinese to self-certify, by the way, they could certify about the electronics in these devices. We allowed them. But somebody decided to investigate the circuitry in these solar panels outside of the Chinese. In other words, not take their word for it. And they found communication links in the cells. And they're unexplained. People are thinking this is a way for the Chinese to shut down our electrical grid.
Yeah. I mean, look, why would we trust them?
On command.
Why would we trust them?
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so this is an interesting topic to debate because you would say, I know, and if you, I went out to Oklahoma a few years ago just to explore of all things, that from a legal standpoint, the marijuana industry. I had a client who wanted to look at it and
well,
do
sure.
something out
Big
there.
Big bucks, man. Yeah.
And when I got my boots on the ground, I started talking to people. China was buying most of that land.
Wow.
And they would come in and they were undercutting the market. They would hire the best growers. They'd bring in the really cheap labor to do all the clipping and whatever. I don't know anything about
growing. Yeah, slave laborers know.
They brought in the cheap labor. And
they know how to do that.
Yeah. And like the premier guys couldn't compete with that.
Wow.
And, you know, it got me thinking about this. Like, why do we have to let another foreign country, let alone China,
right.
buy our real estate
right.
and buy our businesses? We don't have to. You know,
that's right.
You get the privilege of being a United States citizen.
Right.
That comes with those privileges. But if you're not a United States, and in fact, you're from China.
Yeah.
Sort of an enemy.
Yeah.
And existentially anyway.
Yeah.
I think we have every right to tell them.
Yeah. Like they still are negotiating with Trump on something that's so obvious, and that is the fentanyl components that they freely admit they manufacture. And they're like, well, we can't help but Mexicans, you know, and other, you know, people or smugglers are bringing it into the U.S.
Yeah.
We're just the happy people that are making these components. And it's like, bullshit, guys. This is part of your war.
Yeah, you know exactly what's going on.
You right. know
they know exactly what's going on. And they don't have... I think we often make this mistake in our country. We attribute to others the same moral foundation
yeah.
that we have just been swimming in our entire existence.
Right.
And other countries don't swim in that same water.
Well,
They're
we
totally
give
different.
The benefit of the doubt, Steve. I think that's what you're talking about. It like we just think, okay, the Wuhan lab is like where, you know, COVID-19, you know, it emerged from the same city and the market just down the street. And maybe some people got germs on the soles of their feet and they went down there to get lunch. And that's, you know, like it's just a leak. And we're like, yeah, really?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It just didn't sound right. Yeah, but they said so. So they must be telling us the truth.
Yeah. No, it was some kind of bat animal. No, that, yeah. And it just, you know, evolved naturally. But like you mentioned some justice stories, Steve. And this deputy sheriff up in Morrow County, which is one of the most, it's one of the most poverty-stricken counties in Ohio. I mean, so he's out there responding to a domestic call. He's 31 years old, Daniel Shearer, if I may be mispronouncing, or Shearer, is the name of the deputy sheriff. He goes out there solo, confronts a Brian Wilson, who is a recidivist guy. He likes to gunplay. In 2009, he was convicted, had to serve 80 days, give up his rights to have guns for 2 years. And he discharged a weapon back in 2009 on a domestic call that the police had to respond to. And so here he is in 2025, 16 years later, right? And shot and killed the sheriff. And I guess the sheriff got off a couple of rounds himself, but he got killed. And, you know, you're thinking, 80 days, really? I mean, you shoot a gun in a domestic situation, you only get 80 days in the clinker. Like, I don't know, Steve, some of your DUI recidivists probably get more than 80 days.
Yeah.
Like, that's look, outrageous to me.
It sounds I'm not saying it's not outrageous. I'm not saying it is outrageous. I would say this about every given case. No case has a twin. I've represented folks in criminal courts for 30 years, and it's really hard. It's a really dangerous practice to go comparing your case to other cases and trying to draw some sort of clarity out of it because
but they do it all the time.
People do it all the time. Yeah. But you know, it's hard to say because somebody who did something that we perceive as worse got less time versus
yeah.
somebody
yeah.
because every case has its own nuances.
Mitigating factors.
It's got its own
yeah.
evidence, it's yeah. got its own mitigating factors.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a difficulty proving a case for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Maybe you had victims who didn't want to prosecute. Maybe the guy got what everybody perceived as
yeah.
some mental health counseling. I mean, so it's a rabbit hole that is not often worthy of plumbing because you just end up with no answers. You end up with no answers. And you can find outrage in that almost always.
But I think a guy who shoots a gun during a domestic fight, dude, like I'm sorry.
I can't
argue. I'm a gun advocate.
Well,
I'm a gun guy.
Well, I think the gun advocates. The gun advocates would agree. Like most gun advocates are harsh on those who use guns in crime.
Damn. So, that's why I own one in part is to defend myself.
Right.
Yeah,
so I don't know why he shot a gun during a domestic incident. All we know is he shot a gun sometime before in a domestic incident.
Yeah.
I would want to know more facts.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Fair enough, man. City of Columbus got hacked into. I'm talking about the actual municipality, the government of the City of Columbus, almost a year ago. And they've been promising a report and promising a report. And it sounds like the cartel that hacked them is called Reseda. And it's an organization that's done this to numerous local governments. And, you know, they didn't pay. Well, I guess we don't have the report. So I don't know if they paid or if they partially paid or didn't pay anything. But the City of Columbus has not put out a report yet. They've been sued by the fire department and the police department employees because all their records were hacked. And it was a city employee that let, you know, supposedly it was negligence, but negligently opened up their archives and the hacking people got into it. But it also affected every customer of the City of Columbus water department. So that includes me. I have property in City of Columbus. So there's all my details, my credit card that I use to pay my water bill, which, you know, is on auto pay. So it's part of the archive.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, hey, Mayor Ginther, like, you know, it's been over 10 months now. You need to tell us what happened and how expansive this hacking was.
And what are we doing now?
That's right.
Right. So look,
yeah.
This is sort of like the California wildfires. Like everybody knows there's a potential problem out there, but nobody ever really does anything until it comes to its worst possible manifestation of disaster.
Right.
And then everybody is going to go back and try to fix it. And what you want is some answers as to how it happened. But we're really asking, what are we doing now?
Yes.
You know, and cyber threats are real. And I can't say the government's going to be any better at it than everybody else, and probably, in fact, worse.
Yeah.
Because I have taken measures upstairs in my law practice to the best I can bulletproof it, because I have my money at stake, right?
Well,
it's my money.
And your client's information is sacred.
But it's on me if there's a problem. So
it's on you.
I am spending money to try to deal with that.
And you probably have to pay business insurance to cover that?
I pay business insurance. I pay monthly to an IT guy. You know him.
Yeah.
Updated all the hardware around to make sure it's as up to date as I can.
Yeah.
I keep doing it. In fact, there was a Wi-Fi issue here going on now, and I thought, well, I got to call my guy. Well, that's all on me. And I am on it because I have to bear the consequences. The government doesn't have to bear the consequences of that, at least not really.
Yeah. You know, they're being sued by the unions.
It's not their money.
Yeah.
It's not Ginther's money.
No, it's not.
Now, you could say it's his vote or it's his position, perhaps, but not for a couple of years.
Well, he needs to come out with that. I thought we should talk a little bit about Jussie Smollett.
Oh, is he back in the news?
He's back in the news. So yesterday, I think it was yesterday, It might have been Monday, but I think it was yesterday. They finally closed the books on looking into his, you know, he faked up, you know, a racial incident, a hate crime, you know, just made it up out of whole cloth, hired these two Nigerian brothers to, you know, wear red hats and bring along a rope that they bought at Ace Hardware and put it around his neck and punch him once or twice. And then he came out with this, you know, completely implausible story that the black chief of police said this guy should be prosecuted, Jussie Smollett, for making all this up and wasting thousands of man hours of the police searching through, you know, city camera film and you know, trying to find these illusory people who never existed that supposedly assaulted Jussie Smollett. So yesterday, my understanding is yesterday, could have been over the weekend, he made a $60,000 donation, and he's now officially off the hook.
Well, that was a there's some interesting legal history here, because
yeah,
he was initially given a pass or
yes,
given a plea to a misdemeanor.
Yes.
So I forget who the DA or the district attorney was at the time.
Friendly district attorney
gives him a pass,
yeah,
and says, "Look,
because he's a movie star."
Because it was more than that, but they give him a pass. I mean, this is pretty egregious stuff, though. Like, he invented a hate crime.
That's right.
And the evidence is pretty clear about that. He invented a hate crime that I think the people he hired to commit there to
he still denies
the attack
it, but he
turned on him. And
yeah,
there was decent evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
He denied it to the bone. And, you know, because of that, police responded. There was a whole uproar across the country about this horrible racist MAGA
right
hate crime scandal, yada, yada, yada. It turns out to be BS. and he's charged. He's charged with obstruction and some related stuff, or they let him plead guilty to like really minimal stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then a new sheriff enters, or a new DA takes the reins and charges him and convicts him of some felonies. And Jesse's actually sentenced to go to prison, I think, on this. He appeals because he had a deal.
Yeah.
Court of Appeals agrees with him, and I think they should have agreed with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sent it back down. I mean, look.
A deal's a deal.
Like or don't like the original deal. A deal's a deal. You got to be able to rely on it.
Double jeopardy. That's not cool.
That's right. They sent it back down, constitutionally protected. But then the city of Chicago says, we're going to sue you for all the damage and all the money that we lost as a result of your nonsense. And he settles it for $50,000. And it was a donation to the Brighter Futures Center for the Arts, a Chicago-based nonprofit that works with art and city youth. So he will make an additional $10,000 donation to the Chicago Torture Justice Center, which helps victims of abuse by Chicago police. So anyway.
Right. So
close,
I mean,
the book on Jesse.
That's the $10,000.
Juicy.
Jesse. So the
J-U-S-S-I, Juicy.
The $10,000 to this organization that supposedly helps victims of police violence is what's really pissing off the Chicago police. Because here's a guy who invented out of thin air an allegation of a violent crime. The Chicago police immediately respond to help him, mm-hmm. right? And believed him up front, like at least putatively gave him the credence that it was real.
There's sort of a unjust irony there.
Yeah, it's very unfair. You know, very unfair.
Like, wait a minute. You're giving money to people who oppose us.
Yeah.
And we're the victims.
After we backed you up initially, and until we found out, like, no, there's a conspiracy to create a hate crime out of nowhere. To what? To what end, Jussie? So that you could amp up a racial hatred within the city of Chicago? Right. Why would you do
that?
Was
this like a Trojan horse or whatever, the false flag, whatever? Like, what was the purpose? You wanted a riot in Chicago? You hated Trump that much? Or your ego is just so fragile that you wanted the attention? Like, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever so, it was, you know, making false alarms is a crime. It's a crime here in Ohio. We call it making false alarms. So it's like pulling a fire alarm.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get responsible for all sorts of things monetarily.
And in our culture right now, if faking up a race crime, I mean, race crimes are bad enough, but to fake one up out of nothing, that is so heinous and it is so demented and so hateful of your own, you know, African-American population that instead of a real complaint, right, where something hateful actually happens and something's perpetrated out of that hate, you're making something up. And so then everybody else who files a complaint down the road, right, the police are going to immediately think, well, now, is this fake or real? And it's because of you, Jussie. It's because of stuff like you inventing this that you've now, like, put another step in the program instead of people giving, you know, the victim or the, you know, purported victim an immediate like sense that they may have been a victim. Now you've added this doubt. That doubt should always be there, but now it's not a reflex. It's like, oh, this could be fake. And that's a real shame in a way. I mean, it should still, the police should always question a victim's assertions. That's part of their job. That's normal, whether it's a hate crime or, you know, who caused a traffic accident. The loudest person shouldn't automatically be, believed 100% until there's an investigation. But you have poisoned the well for future people. It's like women that claim that they got raped and they didn't get raped. That is a very unfair thing to do to somebody who's actually been raped.
And it amps up. It, you're right. It not only that, but it amps up a false sense of necessity.
Yes.
And well, it's making false alarms throughout the community to really pile fuel onto an otherwise burning fire that we didn't need. So anyway, shame on him. I hope his reparations are complete and he is absolved of all further responsibility. Go live strong, Juicy. Live strong and go back to your show, Empire.
Stay off TV. My outrage of the week.
Good and bad.
Yeah. So we lost over the weekend an Ohioan this is probably a stage name. I don't know his actual name. But Rick Derringer, the musician.
Derringer, yeah.
He's from Salina, Ohio, mm-hmm. right? And he was the lead singer on Sloopy for the McCoys.
Yeah, Hang on Sloopy.
Hang on Sloopy.
Became the Ohio State anthem.
Yeah. And so he died at 77, I think, natural causes. I don't know a lot of details, but that's a bummer, right? I mean, we're all getting a little older every day, you and us, but 77 is kind of like the new 45 or something. Like, he probably lived, you know, like a rock star. I hope that didn't take years off his life. But anyway, rock and roll hoochie coo, Rick. Yep. Good song, man.
So, we doing outrages first?
Yes, sir.
I got an outrage against Upper Arlington. It has nothing to do with the bathroom scenario.
Oh, go, man.
At Upper Arlington.
We have a little time.
So, their Upper Arlington graduation occurred at the Schottenstein Arena where Ohio State plays basketball over the weekend, right? Okay. So, Memorial Day weekend.
Wow.
And, you know, a fine ceremony. They bring everybody in. You wait for all the names to be called, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I got to tell you, not one, other than in the program, which turned out to be, they're in the program, next to the names, they have all these little symbols. So one designates like second or third generation Upper Arlington graduate, which for whatever reason is important.
Okay.
You know, people with magna cum laude, summa cum laude, or cum laude.
Yeah.
Interestingly, no valedictorian or salutatorian. Who knew? That must be, that's like participation trophies for all, I guess.
Wow. That is weird.
Next to those, eight honorable students who had joined the military was a big black dot.
Okay.
The smart kids, quote, smart kids, got to sit up front.
Okay.
It seems like that. The salutatorian summas and magnas or whoever got to sit up front. Those officers got to sit on the stage and they gave speeches, but not a single recognition of any of the kids who had joined the military. So
Except
for that little dot. And I went to a graduation 3 years ago for Upper Arlington for my oldest son, and they had all the kids who had join the military services, stand up, and receive a little bit of a recognition.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it you should.
Yeah.
I saw no recognition for that. There was no recognition for Memorial Day or any other veterans in the room.
Wow.
And I'm just wondering what you're thinking, Upper Arlington. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Is it offensive now, politically, to join? I know what they're going to say. Well, we didn't have time. It's tight, and there's other people. This would have taken 15 seconds.
Yeah, come on.
10 seconds.
That's a huge commitment. It's a huge commitment because Memorial Day reminds us of what the possibility is for anybody who joins the military, whether it's a training accident, you know, whether it's, you know, an occupational thing that just, you know, like they drop an airplane on you by accident, you know, while putting it on board a carrier, or whether it's in combat. But we lose people. That's what Memorial Day is about. It's about our, you know, people who die in the line of duty.
Well, and it says something bigger.
Not
recognizing the kids who have enlisted.
We don't have a draft.
Voluntarily enlisted.
That's the
not
thing.
Recognizing
yeah.
them
yeah.
is saying something
yes,
about
is.
What the school thinks is important and not important.
See, yes.
I would elevate that beyond everybody else. And even the kids who gave the speeches, great. I'm not going to fault them for the speeches because that's
agree.
Hard to do.
I agree with you.
But,
totally.
You know, they were talking about now we go on together and we can decide what our majors are going to be. And I'm thinking to myself, he's going to decide. Like, he's going to the Army.
This
right?
is their major.
What they call it, the MOA in the Army. He's going to decide what he's going to do in the Army. And, you know, I don't fault the kids for this because they don't have the perspective.
No.
But if just one kid, if one parent or if one teacher, one MC of the event would have just said,
yeah.
Look, let's take 10 seconds.
Yeah.
All kids stand up. Let's recognize those who have
right.
who are giving.
Right.
Who are basically committing for the next 4 years or however long it is
right.
to serve in our military.
Right.
So I ask you, listeners, tell me what you think. At your kids' graduation, should they recognize the soldier or the kids who have enlisted?
They absolutely
How should they handle sure. Memorial Day? How should we handle our veterans? And why, pray tell, has it become some? Because I perceive it's some sort of taboo. Like, you don't want to offend people.
Right.
You don't want to wave the flag.
Well,
at least.
They're keeping them off college campuses. Right. They won't let recruiters.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to wave the flag too hard. You don't want to make it too obvious, but we're going to sort of
right.
go halfway there.
Right.
This is non-political. This is non-political, folks.
Right.
This is a commitment to our country. So I'm outraged by it.
And Steve, you as a lawyer would argue this just conceptually as a theory. The lack of taking action is an action.
That is an action. You bet.
It is an action.
The silence speaks volumes.
Yes, it does.
The silence speaks volumes. All right. My good is going to sound like a bad, but it's really a good. Phil Robertson died. He passed away.
God.
Duck Dynasty.
Great.
What an incredible guy. And
incredible.
Look, I go back to my journey towards faith in Christ, and it took a long, as it should, I guess. It was a long journey going way back to my preteen years.
And, well, you're not too different than St. Paul.
Right. So, I can't even come close to that. But Phil Robertson was a step on the way for me. I mean, didn't get me all the way there, but it was close, right? He definitely gave me a
He had
shove.
A wild youth. And he wrote about that and talked about it. And he was an alcoholic. He played women. He could have had a pro football career, and he drank it away. Like lots of things went wrong in his life that he did, and he took ownership of it.
All of it, and saved so many souls,
and
raised
a great family.
And the family itself, like you go watch those shows, and it is a perfect picture of what family should be. And not that they don't have their problems. They got their problems. They're not perfect folks. And that's not the point.
Right.
But they're a family unit. And you know, it's like if people resent that because they want it and don't have it, but instead they should look at it like a guiding light. Here's how you can get it. And that's what Phil was trying to do, I think.
Duck Dynasty,
yeah.
Was that on the Discovery Channel?
I think it was on A&E or Discovery, and it got canceled because Phil would not compromise on his position on certain things like gay marriage or whatever it would be. Like, he wouldn't compromise. Lost the show because of it.
And they did not like that they closed every show with them praying.
With a family prayer. So here's what Phil says, because he knew he was dying. He was sick.
Oh, yeah. Go on. And, I love this guy.
Don't cry when I die. Dance, sing, but don't cry when I die. When I die, say he made it because I watched him walk through the years, hurt back or no back. In other words, I watched him honor Christ, live a life of Christ. So he's in a better place. So
yeah,
hats off to you.
It's like a Johnny Cash, St. Paul, Road to Damascus story of somebody, you know, who turned their life around through faith. And
yep.
It's a beautiful story, and he was a great guy.
Yep, great guy. So, you know,
my triumph,
prayers to their family.
My triumph of the week. Well, Steve has been chuckling at my expense, and rightly so, because chipmunks are very cute. They're very, you know, I've lost all my lady friends. Like, they've taken a walk on me because I shot, after a 2-year battle with this chipmunk, chewing my deck, chewing my foundation, knocking down the bird feeder, just chaos around my house. And I have yelled at him. I've run out the door. I've tried to divert him. I've set up non-lethal traps, blah, blah, blah. I finally had enough, and I took a poke at him with my .22 rifle, and I got him. So right, that's my big triumph.
Congrats to you. All right, we're going to wrap it up with that. CommonSenseOhioShow.com. You can check us out at CommonSenseOhioShow.com. Leave a comment in the socials. Tell us what you think of what we're doing. Check out the reels. Check out the shorts. Check out whatever there is to check out with our show coming at you right from the middle. Until next week.